Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Today we are strapping in for a deep dive, and it looks, well, less like a standard research paper.
Definitely. More like architectural blueprints for existence itself, maybe.
Exactly. It's very conceptual. We're talking metaphysics, complexity theory.
And this proposal for a whole new philosophy, this inevolutionary confluentism.
Yeah, the source material we have is, well, unique. Diagrams, deep definitions, big questions.
Huge questions like, what is perfection? How does change really work?
And the big one for today, maybe,
Yeah.
what's the link between simple and complex?
Uh-huh.
So our mission really is to synthesize all this high-level stuff, try and translate it.
Make it useful for you, the listener.
What does it tell you about, say, managing information overload
Yeah.
or finding some stability when everything feels chaotic?
And it all kind of kicks off with this core question the source just throws out there.
Which is,
Is more complex, more perfect?
instinctively you kind of nod along, more features, more detail,
Yeah.
feels more developed, more perfect, right?
You think so? Like a complex machine seems better than a simple tool.
Or a complex ecosystem versus, I don't know, a single-celled organism.
But the source, boom, throws a curveball right away. The answer isn't just yes.
No.
It says yes and but not only.
Ah, okay. That not only is doing a lot of work there.
It really is. It's saying, hang on, just chasing complexity, that might be missing the point. It's a flawed goal on its own.
And they bring in Kierkegaard to back this up with that quote.
Yeah, it's a great little note, very human. He says something like, I don't like to say anything is perfect because I will worry too much about caring for it afterwards.
In case it is not being perfect anymore after. I love that. It's so relatable.
Totally. It grounds this whole lofty philosophical thing. Perfection sounds great, but then you have to maintain it.
And that maintenance, that's its own kind of complexity, isn't it?
A massive complexity problem. The effort to keep something perfect might just, make it unsustainable. It collapses under its own weight.
Okay, so let's dig into that paradox of perfection the source lays out. It says the whole we live in has to be the more complex perfect.
Which, on one level, makes sense. The universe, everything. It's got the most variety, the most detail. It has to be the most complex thing there is.
Seems logical.
But then here's the pivot, the twist for anyone trying to manage information or build something stable.
What's the twist?
The source says this whole well, it could just be the more perfect if it's also the more simplifiable, too.
Whoa, okay. So perfection isn't just about how complex something is.
No, it's also about how easily you can sort of boil it down, how efficiently you can grasp it, manage it, understand its essence.
So the ability to simplify is actually part of its perfection.
Precisely. Think about really elegant code. It might do incredibly complex things,
Right.
but the beauty is often in the simple core structure it relies on. It's maintainable because it's fundamentally simple underneath.
So maximum complexity is only really valuable if you can radically simplify it when needed.
Exactly. If you can't distill it, it's not perfect. It's just complicated.
Yeah.
Maybe even Baroque, like the source implies.
Okay, so the goal isn't just complexity for complexity's sake, it's manageable complexity.
You got it. Which leads straight into the next question the source tackles.
Which is?
What could be the more simple and more complex thing? How can one thing be both?
That sounds like a contradiction.
Relation is what matters most anyway.
So it's not just the quadrants, it's the connections between them, the
Yeah.
tension, the flow.
Exactly. The power is in that relationship. How does stability relate to dynamism? How does simplicity relate to complexity?
And the source uses that columns versus rows example to show this, right?
Yeah, it's a neat little illustration. Take a simple repeating pattern, like 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Okay.
If you write it down in vertical columns, one into the other, the source says it looks more stable, simple.
Right. You see the pattern immediately. It feels organized, predictable,
Yeah.
stable.
But then take that exact same sequence, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, and write it out horizontally in rosettes.
What happens then?
The source suggests it suddenly looks more dynamic, complex.
Even though it's the identical data.
Identical data. Just changing the structure, the relation between the elements, changes how we perceive it. Is it simple? Is it complex? It depends on how it's arranged.
So simplicity and complexity aren't just inherent properties. They emerge from the relationships.
That's what the source seems to be arguing, yeah. It's about structure and observation.
Okay, so if simple and complex are always related, always in tension, you need a word for that combination.
Right, and the source tries one. Simple X, combining simple and complex.
Makes sense.
But, because this is philosophy,
Yeah, here we go.
they immediately criticize their own word. They say simplex, just like that, is too simple or maybe too complex. It doesn't quite capture it.
So what does capture it? How do they refine simplex?
This is maybe the most important definition for you, the listener, to grab onto. The true, more simple X, it's defined by concepts being equivalent while varied.
Equivalent while varied. Okay.
Yeah.
Unpack that a bit. What does that mean in practice? If I'm building something.
Think about modular design, like building blocks.
Okay.
The simplex part, the foundation, is the standardized connection point. The way the blocks snap together. That's the equivalent part. It's simple. It's always the same.
Got it. And the varied part.
That's all the different types of blocks you can attach. Different shapes, colors, functions, infinite variety, infinite complexity, potentially.
But it all builds on that simple, stable, equivalent connection.
Exactly. That simple foundation. That's the simplex ground.
Yeah.
Stay stable, letting all that variety, all that complexity kind of fractal out from it reliably.
Without making the whole thing fall apart.
Right. The simple core enables stable complexity.
So simplicity isn't the opposite of complexity here. It's more like the necessary bedrock for it.
That's a great way to put it. It's like Occam's razor applied to everything. Find the simplest, most stable foundation.
The source calls it a simple ground for more stably fractaling the more complex varieties from it.
Yes. Simplex is that grounding mechanism. It makes stable complexity possible.
Which leads to some pretty clear advice, doesn't it? Whether you're doing science or just managing a project.
Absolutely. The source says, always try falsifying simpler options first.
Meaning?
Look for that core simple thing, that equivalent but varied structure before you start adding all the complex bells and whistles. Nail the foundation first.
But we often don't do that, do we?
No. And the source calls us out on it and says, basically, we, very complex beings, tend to overlook fundamentals to be more simple. And so we mess.
Guilty as charged, I think. We jump to the exciting, dynamic, complex stuff.
Without establishing that stable, simple foundation, we skip the simplex step. We want the variety without the equivalence.
And that's why things break down. Systems become unstable.
That seems to be the implication. Now, this idea, this equivalent while varied bipole, it doesn't just describe structure. It drives change, too.
How so?
The source links it to two kinds of movement. Moving towards more simple, that's called involutionary.
Involutionary, okay.
And moving towards more complex, that's evolutionary.
But evolution is expanding, growing, adding complexity, variety.
Right, moving outward. And involution is kind of collapsing back, streamlining, returning to that simple, stable core, finding the equivalence again.
Okay, so systems are always sort of cycling between these, evolving complexity, then involuting back to simplicity.
That's the picture it paints. A constant cycle, expansion, and retraction. And the source labels this whole process as fundamentally adaptive.
It's how the system learns and adjusts, by exploring complexity and then simplifying what works.
Exactly.
So if we zoom out now, take this bipolar adaptive engine and apply it to the biggest scale possible, the universe as a whole.
Yeah, the source tries to connect the more simple micro, the tiny fundamental bits, with the more complex macro, the biggest possible picture.
Complex is described as holistic fractal and more stable.
Yes, it's the totality. And the source actually ties the highest level of perfection back to this continuum. It says the system is the more simple X and more varied perfect if it embodies this stable holistic range.
But wait, if the continuum is perfect and stable, how does imperfection fit in? Where does the messy, unstable stuff live? You said the complex macro might be unstable?
Good question. And the source addresses it directly. It needs that imperfection, paradoxically.
Why would a perfect system need imperfection?
Because that's the engine of change, of adaptation.
Yeah.
The source states that the more complex macro happenings can be seen the most imperfect, too.
Imperfect how?
It labels them experimental, random, and even fatal.
Fatal. Wow. That's intense for just being complex.
It is a strong word.
Yeah.
But think of it as the frontier. Maximum complexity, maximum variety. That's where the risks are highest.
So if a system gets super complex but hasn't figured out how to simplify itself yet, how to find that simplex core?
It's out on a limb. It's experimental. It might not last. It's potentially fatal to itself because it's strayed too far from the stable, simple ground. High complexity, high entropy, high risk.
Okay, so the complex macro has to be potentially imperfect, random, fatal.
So the whole system, the continuum, can explore possibilities, test boundaries, learn what works.
And then involute, simplify, and integrate the successful experiments back into the stable simplex core.
That's the dynamic. The instability at the edge is necessary for the stability and adaptation of the whole. It's a constant feedback loop.
Right, which brings us, I think, to the final synthesis.
How correct.
The source kind of looks at its own explanation.
And realizes it's got a bit complicated.
Yeah, it describes this whole system with a mouthful of a phrase, yeah. Deterministic, varied, fractal, bipolar, wholeism.
And then immediately says, yeah, that's too wordy complex, which is pretty funny, actually.
It is, practicing what it preaches. So how does it simplify that label?
It coins a new term. One word to capture the whole dynamic.
Which is?
In evolutionary confluentism.
Confluentism. Like a confluence. A flowing together.
Exactly. The flowing together of these opposites. Mm-hmm. Simple and complex. Involution, evolution. Stability and dynamism. Micro and macro.
It's the simplex name for the complex reality it's describing.
You nailed it. Hashtag tag tag outro.
Mm-hmm.
So when we boil this whole deep dive down, what we're seeing is that real health in a system, real stability, perfection even. It's not just about piling on more complexity.
No, it seems to be about finding and maintaining that simplex core, that equivalent but varied foundation.
Right. The simple ground that allows complexity to emerge reliably, stably, to fractal out without causing collapse.
And confluentism is the name the source gives this whole picture, this holistic, deterministic dance between simplicity and complexity.
That's the takeaway.
So if the universe, the whole allegory, finds its perfection partly in its ability to be simplified, that's a pretty clear message for us, right? As people trying to learn, trying to manage complex lives or systems.
Definitely. We are, as the source puts it, those imperfect, random, and experimental complex macro happenings.
Sounds about right. And it reminds us we tend to mess things up.
By overlooking fundamentals to be more simple. By skipping that vital simplex step.
So if this confluentist system is ultimately stable and deterministic because of this balance, maybe the responsibility falls on us. On the experimental complex parts.
Responsibility for what?
To consciously seek simplification. To actively engage in that involutionary process, streamlining things, finding the stable core.
That seems to be the implication. We, as the complex agents, need to provide the drive back towards simplicity to maintain the overall balance.
Which leaves you, the listener, with a final thought to chew on, I suppose.
Okay.
If every complex system needs to return to that simple ground to stay stable,
right.
Where are you maybe operating out there in the fatal zone, the complex macro?
In your work, your learning, your life.
Yeah. Where have you maybe built up too much complexity without checking the foundation?
Right.
And what essential simple ground, what equivalent core do you need to find? And as the source says, falsify first before you add any more variety.